In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we said, today we are celebrating the Epiphany. The Epiphany celebrates the Magi, also called the wise men, or sometimes the three kings, coming to worship Jesus. If you would look at the calendar of Sundays and holidays in the front of our hymnal, you would see that today, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, is normally celebrated as the baptism of our Lord. Well, why aren't we doing what's normal? Well, no one has ever accused me of being normal, but moreover, since January 6th only falls on a Sunday once every 7 years, the Epiphany doesn't get the attention in Protestant churches that it deserves. Centuries ago, and in Eastern Orthodox churches today, Epiphany is or was as big or an even bigger event than Christmas. Growing up, I never heard the term Epiphany. I just lumped the visit of the Magi in with the shepherds at the manger as part of the Christmas story, as most people do. But as we'll see, that's not quite biblically and historically accurate. We'll say more about that later. Christmas Day, of course, was December 25th, and we recalled Jesus' birth, the Nativity of our Lord. Traditionally, Christmas is a 12-day season that ends on January 6th with the Epiphany. Or does it? If you visited the Confessional Lutheran pages on Facebook, you would see that there's a lot of discussion as to whether the Christmas season ends on January 6th or not. Some people make a good argument that Christmas actually lasts until February 2nd, which is called Candlemas. What is that? On February 2nd, Jesus' presentation in the temple is celebrated. The gospel reading is pretty much the same as last week's, with baby Jesus and his parents going to the temple for the required rituals, and then the Christ child was praised by Simeon and Anna. Simeon said that Jesus is the light of the world. Whereas up until relatively recently in human history and the invention of electric lights, it was candles that brought us physical light. So the presentation of our Lord was associated with candles symbolizing Christ's spiritual light. That help explains why we still have candles in our chancel when electric lights could do the job all by themselves. Candlemas was the mass, that is the divine service, with the blessing of candles for church use. In years past, all the candles to be used in the church for the coming year were blessed on February 2nd. Now, I'm not even going to get into relating Candlemas to the superstition of Groundhog's Day, which also happens to be February 2nd. Well, anyway, getting back to the Epiphany, what do we have to say about it? Why is it important? First, let's consider the Magi themselves. We really don't know very much about them. Everything that's said about them in the Bible is pretty much said in today's gospel reading. We don't know their names. Tradition has named them Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, but there's no hard evidence for that. The Magi likely came from Persia, which would be modern-day Iran. They certainly were not Jewish, and Islam had not been invented yet. They were what we would call pagans. The Magi were astrologers. They didn't study the stars scientifically like astronomers today. The Magi were looking for spiritual guidance from the stars, the way some people look at horoscopes now. They may have practiced something like magic, hence the name Magi. Supposedly, they were connected historically to Balaam, the sorcerer who was hired to curse Israel on its way to the Promised Land in the Old Testament, but again, that is just conjecture. However, the wise men certainly were of the educated, wealthy class. They were not kings themselves, though they might have had ties to the royalty in their land. The Psalms say that kings will bow before the Messiah. Indeed, many have in the past 2 millennia, but to call the Magi kings might be a little too much of a stretch. Regardless, I still love the Christmas carol, or the Epiphany hymn, we might call it, We Three Kings. It does have some good theology in it, as we'll see. If we look closely at Scripture, we see that the kings or magi are never numbered. We've always just assumed that there were three of them because three gifts are mentioned. In art, the wise men are usually shown riding camels to their destination. I've read some modern biblical scholars who say it was more likely that they rode donkeys. The Bible doesn't say what they rode. What they followed on whatever beast they happened to be riding were what the Bible calls a star. There is much speculation as to what that star was. Years ago, people thought that it might have been a comet. So we get Christmas songs that mention a star with a tail as big as a kite. Contemporary astronomers think that it was probably a conjunction of planets. That might explain how the star could appear to move, stop, and then move again. Of course, this could also be just a one-time miraculous phenomenon that God created especially for that occasion. God can do things like that. Having the Magi at the manger on Christmas night is not quite accurate. Again, a close look at Matthew's gospel shows us that they found Jesus in a house, not a stable. Jesus is described as a child, not as a newborn infant. We set the Epiphany 12 days after Christmas, but it could have been a lot longer. Given that we don't know a lot about the Magi, and that a lot of what we think we know is really tradition, not scripture, what does the Epiphany mean for us and for our faith? The most important thing about the Magi is that they were the first Gentiles to worship Jesus Christ. God's word came first to the Jews, and it was Jews, specifically the shepherds, that were the first to worship the Christ child. The visit of the wise men shows that God's salvation is for every race and every nation. God will use even people who don't know him to testify to him. Jesus is for everyone. The Magi were the wealthy, intellectual elite. The shepherds were the poor, uneducated, looked down upon people. Again, Jesus is for everybody, regardless of socioeconomic distinctions. Now, we certainly don't believe in astrology. God's law forbids us to participate in the occult. But in this one instance, God used the stars to tell the Magi about the birth of his son. We certainly cannot explain what the star was. And there are a lot of pieces of the Epiphany story that we don't understand, and there are things that seem to be missing. But that's okay. Understanding doesn't lead to belief. Belief leads to understanding. Louis Pasteur said, "A little science distances you from God, but a lot of science brings you nearer to him." And St. Augustine defined theology as faith seeking understanding. No sermon on the Magi would be complete without some commentary on the gifts and their meaning. As an old joke says, if the men were truly wise, they would have brought disposable diapers, formula, and a casserole. That would have been practical. But the real gifts have an even deeper meaning that certainly includes, but even goes beyond, prophecy being fulfilled. First, gold. Gold is a gift for kings. The gift acknowledges Jesus' kingship. He is the King of the Jews, and he is the King of the universe. It's thought that perhaps selling gold and those other gifts might have helped the Holy Family finance their sojourn in Egypt when they had to escape from Herod's death squads. Frankincense. Frankincense was burned in worship as an offering to God. That gift tells us that Jesus is our God. In Christian worship, the sweet aroma and billowing smoke of incense symbolizes our prayers rising up to God. I've used incense in some places previously. Maybe we could look at doing that again. We'll talk. Myrrh. That's the one that is most strange to us. Myrrh can be used as a painkiller. It was sort of the morphine of its day. At his crucifixion, Jesus was offered myrrh, but he refused it. It was necessary for him to bear all the pain of humanity's sin, all of God's wrath. Myrrh was also one of the spices used to anoint his body when Jesus was entombed. Myrrh tells us that Jesus is the suffering, dying servant who won our salvation. We have seen now how, as everything in our scripture and worship does, the Epiphany points us to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the apex of our faith. That is what we celebrate today and every day. Amen.